Hey, everybody. It's November 25th, the Monday before Thanksgiving 2019. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We got a cool show for you today. It's about using virtual reality, artificial intelligence, AI, okay, to increase success for professional development and teacher education. I've got Stacy Cruz here. We'll bring you on in just a minute, Stacy, from Sim School. And you're going to go nuts. It's like a flight simulator for educators. And it's an incredible use of technology. And you're going to be very, very impressed for instructional supervision, for teaching yourself, for measuring. You'll see. It's just great stuff. So Stacy's going to tell us all about it. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We do have a schedule up there for this short week. We do have shows today and tomorrow. Then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're off. We'll be back Monday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. If you're celebrating, hope you are. Okay, and we archive every show at education-talkradio.org. That's our website. Facebook is EduTalkLarry. Twitter's EduTalkLarry. No, got that wrong. Facebook's EduTalkRadio. LinkedIn is EduTalkLarry. And Twitter's EduTalkRadio. Sorry about that. Now you're all mixed up, so we won't go there. Hey, check out our magazine. It's an online journal. It is terrific. We just put a new issue of Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity up online. It's not a special ed magazine, all right? It's a magazine geared for every school, every student, every day, basically about equity in schools, what we need to do about that. Go over there, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Yeah, there's a big subscribe button. You can subscribe over there. We're not going to hassle you. We just will send it to you each time it comes out, six times next year. But the big new issue is up there. You'll like it at ace-ed.org. So please check it out. All right, let's talk about today's subject with Stacy Cruz. Good morning, Stacy. Let's see, it's spinning there. She goes, hi, Stacy. How you doing? It's Larry.
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me today, Larry.
It's my pleasure. Pardon me? Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And happy Thanksgiving to you in return. Where will you be celebrating Thanksgiving? Where?
Los Angeles.
Do they have Thanksgiving?
Be celebrating in Los Angeles and bearing the terrible weather and rain here.
Yeah, really? You're not serious.
Well,
right.
A little bit serious. We're pretty lightweight when it comes to weather. So, you know, it hits 50 here, and it's a cold wave.
Yeah, and you're in L.A. Is it like a tofu turkey, or is it a real turkey?
Well, you know, it depends. We try to make sure there's diversity on the table.
Okay, good, because I'm out here in New England, okay, so we're snobby about Thanksgiving. You know, what can I tell you? You know, so I can just imagine out there a tofu and kale turkey, and I know you'll enjoy it. I'm just kidding you. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, okay? It's great, okay? It's cool. So I'm going to tell this to everybody. SimSchool.org. Let's just start right there. S-I-M School, S-C-H-O-O-L, SimSchool.org. You're going to love this. Stacy is the Director of Strategic Partnerships, and she goes out to talk to K-12 districts and ed preparation programs about this incredible thing. Tell us what it is, Tracy. You're on simschool.org, everybody. Go ahead, Tracy.
I just realized my
guest at 9 a.m. was Tracy, and now I've got a Stacy. I just realized
that. You have a theme going for today.
I do. It's an AC. And that's the name
it's
of our magazine, AC and E. Okay? So it's all
that's
crazy
perfect.
Today. All right. So Stacy Cruz, go ahead. Tell us about Sim School.
So Sim School is a web-based, which means you can access it in any web browser, artificially intelligent simulated classroom environment. So the characters that you interact with, the simulated students that you interact with, have their own personalities, their own emotional profiles. And it enables anyone to come into this simulated space and practice different strategies for working with different types of learners.
So who sets up the classroom? Is it the teacher or is it the professor or the principal who sets it up? Or how realistic is it to what they're doing, let's say, a given teacher in their class? This is fun.
That's a really good question. And I would say that it depends on the use case. So when we're working with a teacher preparation program, most often it's the instructor or us working with the instructor or even their own department that would like their students, their candidates, their pre-service teachers to practice some kind of interaction in a specific kind of classroom. Maybe it's working with students of a particular learning need or a special education profile. So they'll set up a classroom for those students to drive that kind of learning experience and opportunity for reflection. If it's a principal or a teacher in the field, there may be a desire to set up a classroom that more closely mimics their own demographics and learning profiles in their actual school.
Wow. So, but how, and I must ask, you know, because we're doing radio here and people can go over to simschool.org as we're talking, yeah. But you could set up a professor, let's say at, well, I was just talking to Tracy Benson, my 9 a.m. show. He's at UNC in Charlotte, University of North Carolina. Okay. So if he wanted to set up a classroom that had a lot of white kids and a few black kids, all right, which we were talking about unconscious bias in schools, he could do that?
Absolutely. Yeah, any learning profile. And in fact, we hear that a lot from schools who are facing challenges, particularly as more and more programs in trying to get more teachers into the pipeline, into the workforce, as they're moving their education programs online and their learners could be anywhere in the world. You know, how do you set up a successful student teaching experience or clinical practice for that individual? I know you did a show last month on clinical practice.
Yes,
and
I
how
did.
Do you create those opportunities that either it's difficult or sometimes impossible to oversee in the field or observe a teacher doing in the field? So you could set up a classroom where you say, okay, we want to set up a classroom that has a real diversity of, let's say, skin tone ranges, because we want to give that teacher an opportunity to observe if they're spending their time equitably with all skin tone ranges in the classroom. That's a pretty difficult thing to observe in real life, in an actual classroom, but you can do it really successfully in a simulation.
You know, this is really interesting, Stacey, and I'm going to I just keep referring back to it. It was a good show. Just before I did the show with you now, I did a show with a professor named Tracy Benson, again, down at UNC, and his book was called Unconscious Bias in Schools. I'm going to introduce you to when we're done here. Unconscious Bias in Schools, but he trains the future educators, all right? And, you know, he trains them. One of the things he trains them is looking for unconscious bias, that sort of thing. You can actually, and you're saying you could actually set that up, okay, within Sim School. That's just amazing.
You can. In fact, I'll tell you a story. If I could share a story.
Yeah, please.
You. So we had a professor, and I'm not going to name the university.
Oh, no.
West Coast University, somewhere in my general geography on the West Coast, who had been using Sim School for quite some time. This was years ago. And we released a new version of a report, because when you play Sim School, it's not like watching a video. You have to interact with these simulated students, or you don't generate any data. So you have to teach, and then you get data back. You get a report that shows how the things that you did impacted these simulated students, both from a learning perspective and from an emotional perspective. And we show you on this particular report version how you spent your time with all the genders represented in the classroom and all the ethnicities represented in the classroom, which is really skin tone range. And I had a professor call me, someone who I respect enormously, called me and said, okay, I really want to understand this new report before, so I can explain it well to my students. And I'm looking at my report version, and I'm seeing, you know, in this one particular column, I'm seeing this little null mark next to essentially Latino boys, as far as, you know, communication. What does that mean?
Right.
That there's nothing
exactly.
There?
Exactly.
And I had to very gently say, well, it means that in all the simulations that you've run, you never interacted with a boy of a particular skin tone range. And there was dead silence on the line. And she said, oh, that can't be right. So there's no judgment in that. You know, the simulation doesn't judge. It's just recording your tendency. I don't know what you were trying to accomplish in those particular simulations, but that is what the data shows. And there was silence again. And she said, well, I'm really going to have to think about that. I said, well, great.
You know,
and we consider that a win. That's what it's for. It's
that is
for
a win.
A chance for reflection.
That
yeah.
is a win. And that's absolutely astounding you said that. Because in my show earlier today with Tracy, okay, as opposed to Stacy, who's on now, but Tracy was saying how he sends his future principals out to schools with a designed purpose to look for racial bias, okay, some kind of gender racial bias, whatever, all right? And they always come back and said they never noticed it before. And here you're telling me the exact same thing. This is incredible. This really is simulating real-life experience. How did you discover this? How long has it been around, Sim School? Like, did a meteorite land in your front yard, and you opened it, and there were all these lights blinking, and this thing came out, and you were able to do this? Is it from outer space? How did you do this? Where made it up?
Well, you know, I think that's far more exciting than maybe the actual origin story of Sim School. It's been a lot of hard work. The original research team, Sim School has always been by educators for educators, and the original research started on Sim School over a decade ago, and it was with researchers at the University of North Texas and University of Vermont, and they were having one of these back of the napkin conversations at an education conference, and they were talking about how can we help teachers practice more. You know, there's a natural limit to how much time we can get them in student teaching or induction before we got to throw them into the water, and they've got to teach on their own. And we know that that's what makes the biggest difference. It's just copious amounts of practice. How can we get them more? And they said, well, let's think about the flight industry. And this is actually, I think, a really relevant time to talk about this, because this Thanksgiving is the busiest travel time all year long, particularly in the airlines. And a lot of people don't realize that the first time that a newly certified pilot takes those controls and flies that actual plane, it's with paying customers in the seats. But what they've had is extraordinary practice in simulators.
Right.
And that's how they got certified. And not everybody realizes that. So these researchers said, well, you know, can we do the same thing with education? Can we find a way to build an AI model where the simulated characters act close enough to what a real student with those learning and emotional needs would act like, that we can give people that practice, thinking about teaching as being a similarly high-risk endeavor? You know, you can only crash a plane once. You can't go into a classroom and say, geez, what would happen if I'm sarcastic with this particular student? What happens if I take a shy student and I make them talk in front of the classroom? We can't get that kind of practice in real life, but we can get it in a sim. So the short answer, the work began over a decade ago, and that was really the inspiration for it, was looking at flight simulators.
It's incredible. How long has this been around?
Over 10 years. And the original, the very beginning of the research began back in 2012, 2013, when it was really just a research question. You know, how could you develop an AI brain that simulates actual cognition and emotion? You know, when we talk about AI in the technology marketplace these days, we're usually talking about things like Alexa or, you know, Amazon helping us improve our shopping choices. But they're really perfecting processes. We don't want to perfect processes. We want to reflect how students actually think and behave. So that's been a long research effort to get to the point where that was a really validated model.
And where's it being used, Stacey? Go over this with people so they understand it. You know, is it a lot of schools in California? Where? Just talk about where it is.
Actually, most of our schools are on the East Coast,
in
the center of the country, and in the South. Yeah, actually.
I'll be damned.
And most often, we work with teacher preparation programs. That's kind of where we got our start. But we also work with a number of different induction programs in K-12 schools and have a growing community of K-12 schools that use it for professional development.
Are a lot of school districts – that's what I was just going to ask you. Are a lot of school districts using it?
It's growing. You know,
be.
I will tell you, in full honesty, we've had to figure out the best way to deliver the observation data to teachers, because they already feel so scrutinized that you can imagine how fearful a teacher would be to get a report back that says you never talked to brown children in the simulators.
Yeah, right.
That's a pretty scary thing. So it's been an ongoing process of working with districts to figure out how we can deliver this really important data, particularly on equity and opportunity, how we can deliver that to teachers in a way that's really constructive and doesn't feel punitive. So it's
right,
growing.
I had the conversation. You know, when you say this, okay, it puts teachers on the defensive. But in reality, they don't have to be on the defensive. Everybody is as guilty or innocent as everybody else. Okay, and to know you're doing something and to find that out is a blessing. It's not something to be scared of.
It's true. You're so right. But we need to meet them where they are. And if we know that they're coming from a place of already feeling overworked and over-scrutinized and over-tested, we want to figure out how to integrate data like this and a chance to reflect on their own tendencies. We want to figure out how to do that in a way that feels really formative and helps them skill build so that they're more likely to go in and try things and experiment and get that opportunity to learn.
Right, and we're talking about, unconscious bias. Let me change the subject to something very important, and you mentioned it before, special education. Okay, here's a wonderful way, okay, not only for future special and current future special ed teachers to do teacher development, it's also incredibly helpful to any teacher as these children are mainstreamed, okay? And you don't, and they're not trained. They are not trained, okay, in special education. I was a history teacher, okay, and believe me, it was never mentioned in all my years in college. Okay, so had if I and I did have some kids. Okay, this is a long time ago. I had no idea how to react with them. Okay, I really, nobody helped. Okay, and if something like this was available, although back when I was teaching, the paperclip was high tech, so it wasn't available back then. Okay, but had something like this been available, it would have made sense. You use it. Tell me about special ed. Are they using it a lot in special education? I hope so.
Yes, absolutely. That's actually one of the areas where if you go do a search, you'll find the most number of published research studies on using SimSchool has been in the area of special education because of exactly what you just said. And that's it's incredibly difficult. If you are not specializing in special education, particularly if you're getting a single subject credential, the amount of just coursework exposure or live experience that you may get in the field with students of various learning needs is pretty sparse and almost impossible to secure in a student teaching situation. How do you ensure that a teacher gets adequate time with students who are on the spectrum, with students who are being placed for the first time in an inclusionary environment? It's almost impossible. But yeah, we are able to do it in the simulator very effectively.
And how does, let's use me, okay? I'm a social studies teacher in eighth grade. I'm not. I used to be. I'm not. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I want to do this. Am I talking to the machine? What am I actually doing as a teacher when I'm playing with SimSchool and using it?
That's a really good question. So we've really distilled down teaching to three different key areas. That's assigning instructional activities to students or non-instructional activities, things you do in the classroom to manage it. There's communicating with students, either verbally or non-verbally. And then there's analyzing the results. Both the things that you can see with your eyes, and because we're in a simulated environment, we're able to actually give you a window into how that student is doing emotionally and cognitively. You actually can see these little meters that show how they're responding to the things that you're doing. So yes, you can either choose from preset comments that have been coded for you that are already existing in the simulator. That's really helpful for new teachers or pre-service teachers. Or you can actually make your own comment to the students and talk to them.
So if I'm a department head, I have to ask, wait, if I'm a department head, I could set up questions, okay, on the software given to either all the teachers in my department or individual teachers, depending what I wanted, and say, run this lesson, and let me see how you do, and we'll go over it together. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
You could do that. And the interesting thing is because these characters, they're not operating on a script. This is not a multiple choice environment. You can have the same lesson plan that you come in and teach, but you could teach it 100 different times, 100 different ways, just to see how the students responded differently. If you sequenced things differently, if you paced things differently, if you grouped the students to work on things together, so you could take that same lesson plan and it becomes reusable an infinite number of times. You could even do something like take that lesson plan and say, okay, to your group of teachers that you're working with in a PD setting, we really want to talk about gender inclusivity. And that's a tough topic. It's a sensitive topic. We know from surveys with teachers that a lot of teachers feel very anxious when they have students that have a non-traditional gender association or identity, or if they have a very non-traditional appearance. We know that can be anxiety-producing for teachers, especially if they've never encountered it before. So you could take a lesson plan and say, okay, when you all come in and teach this time, we really want to work on how we talk about students who identify with a not as he or not as she. We know from the research it's really important to use their preferred gender pronoun.
Right.
It's really important to affirm their name. So this time, come in and teach this lesson plan. And what we're going to be looking at is just what kind of what you revert to when you're in the flow. Do you remember to use the pronoun that the student identifies as? Because we show that in the simulator.
Wow.
We can do that. You spend all your time equally with all the students, even, you know, the child who identifies as she but who is named Steve, who sits in the back of the classroom and has a pink mohawk? You know, that can be a lot of different triggers for teachers who haven't encountered that before. So
of
is
course.
That child getting an equal amount of your time? So you could take a lesson plan and you could drive that kind of question with it. you could take that same lesson plan and say, okay, we're going to play it again. Same students. You just taught all these same simulated students. So you know all these kids. Now let's come in. Let's think about these tasks that are in this particular lesson plan and if they are promoting inclusive instruction as much as we can. So really think this time about all the learning needs of the particular students and could we improve on this lesson plan? Could we improve on this task so that all of our students, even those that are highly gifted, those that are twice exceptional, those that have special education needs, are these tasks the best that they can be for this group of students that we have? So you can really, because the students are not operating on a script, they're their own independent little characters, you mm-hmm. really can reuse the same experience. The only limit is your creativity and the number of lenses that you want to look at it through.
This is fascinating. I love this. And I just want to say something, everybody. SimSchool.org. I want to ask you this. I just went to the pricing page, and I'm just going to read this aloud. It's on the website. Single school PD, all staff and faculty can use this. You went to a huge high school. I taught at one. Okay? It's a lot of people. Okay? They could all mm-hmm. use it for $1,000 a year?
Yes.
And how often can they use it?
Many times as they would like.
$1,000 a year. Okay, and look at what you get for $1,000 a year. Yes.
The platform is already operating at scale. It's already at scale. It's already developed. And so our goal has really been to ensure that anyone that feels like they would benefit from training like this can use it.
Okay, what is the feedback? And I know it's your product. I know you're going to say it's good, but just talk about it in a little more detail. What's the feedback you hear from educators who are using it? And talk about those teachers. You mentioned this before. That might be, oh, my God, they're going to nail me because I didn't call on the black kids or something. Okay? But you've had feedback on exactly that kind of thing. Okay? What are you hearing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The nice thing with SimSchool is that it's been researched independently, not by us. We always, any entity that wants to research SimSchool, so this is a call to any universities, any nonprofits, any high schools or K-12 schools out there that have a research
right.
question, we're always happy to let them use SimSchool. So yes, it is our product, but I'm going to be pretty transparent because in general, we believe in simulation-based training. We want to know what tools like this are good for and what they're not good for and how to make them better. So what we find most often when we're working with pre-service teachers is tremendous aha moments and
mm-hmm.
A real sense of an increase, and this has all been quantified too, in general knowledge about student learning differences and classroom management. So often they're so far away from their practicum if they're not in a situation where they are in a program that has clinical practice, that just that opportunity to teach in the simulated space while they're doing their coursework can be really beneficial. So you get really positive feedback there. In-service teachers are interesting. We're learning as we go along. I will tell you about two very different experiences that we've had. So I will tell you that when we're working with pre-service teachers, we give them all the numbers. We give it to them raw. Even if it's, we won't call it ugly, we'll call it constructive. we show them everything. And we give them that, and we give it to them on an observation form that looks very much like what they would see in a classroom with if a principal was observing them. So they get to see that, and that's their data. It's all transparent. What we have found with in-service teachers is they are not as fond of receiving that critical feedback.
Mm.
And what we know is that, just as you were mentioning, when principals go out into the field and do observations and are looking for equity or bias, they say, yeah, I didn't see any. Well, we know it's out there. It's
really difficult for
a principal to, let's say, mark a teacher down. We know that's not what happens. Even at schools that are quote-unquote failing schools or low-performing schools, the teachers, by and large, are rated very highly on their observations. So what we have found is that we have to keep the simulated experiences very short, with very short objectives and very clear feedback for the teachers, and we have to modify the language that we use. Like for a pre-service teacher, we can say that you met a standard or you failed a standard. And they're kind of in that mindset of being graded in the pre-service program. And it's okay. That's an expeditious way to get that data out. We can't say you failed a standard to an in-service teacher. But we can say, here's an opportunity for improvement.
Exactly.
And it completely changes
the way they
perceive the data.
And it's all an opportunity for improvement. That's what it's all about. The classrooms across the country are changing. I mean, I'll use just an example. My good friends in North Dakota, okay, I deal with North Dakota schools quite a bit. And you would think North Dakota, way up north, the middle of nowhere, they got tons of ELL students, okay, and all kinds of diversity in their schools. It's everywhere, okay? I'm just using them as the example. You could use my state of Maine as the same exact thing, okay?
Right.
You know, so this is everywhere, and the teachers are not used to this. Many of them haven't been trained in this, all right? So this is really fascinating. I wanted to ask you something which struck me as you were talking about teacher education. You know, a lot of teachers, a lot of people become teachers, and they go into a classroom, all right, and suddenly they find out that this is not for me. I'm not good at it, or B, these kids are driving me crazy, okay? They go into an urban classroom, and, you know, they're white, and all of a sudden they're facing, a class full of kids that they cannot culturally relate
to. Right, in their own experience.
Yeah, but this sim school, I would work for that, and I'm thinking in terms of teacher retention. If you can show people what it's like to be in a classroom of any given group, wherever you might be, and show them different groups, mainstreaming, special ed, etc., they're already going to have experienced this, and they've learned something before they enter that classroom, and they can practice on it as they go. What's the word? I don't know if you've heard anything about teacher retention and sim school.
Of course. Yeah, we actually did a study
with
our colleagues at University of North Texas. They're one of the universities that has worked with sim school the longest, and so they were able to really look longitudinally at all their data and do a pretty deep analysis and working with the alumni association, finding the graduates of their program that had gotten their certification, and they were able to determine that at 3 years in the profession, those who were exposed to sim school in their pre-service teacher programs were retained in the field at 80%.
Wow.
Which in Texas, the retention rate is usually around 45 at 3 years. So it's a pretty significant increase. And it's exactly what you said. It's a chance to build that resilience.
It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
you guys are really doing some. Yes. And the best way to get in touch with you is simschool.org. People can go there and check it out.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to do more on this. This really, like I said at the beginning, it's a flight simulator for educators. Okay, and you said it too. I mean, it just puts them right. What's the next thing you guys are going to do? Okay, create robots? What are you doing?
Well, I don't know if that would benefit our teacher community the most.
They could stay home and work the robot at home is what I'm thinking. You know,
that
probably wouldn't work.
You know, we don't ever want to take the teacher out of the classroom.
I know. I'm just kidding you. Relax. I'm just kidding everybody. Okay. What's next?
This is a really interesting new area for us, particularly, you know, I'm in Los Angeles. We just had a school shooting a week and a half ago, 20 minutes from my house.
Yes.
The
name of the school is the same
Saugus
as the
school. High School.
Yeah, this is Saugus, Massachusetts. It's terrible. Horrible.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
I know that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So this is the new reality that we live in, at the very least, where bullying is pervasive, school climate is a huge concern, then there's this incredible fear that those factors combined might lead to violence in a school. So we've actually had a couple of school districts ask us, well, if these benefits are experienced by teachers, this understanding of different learning and emotional needs of others, a chance to reflect on personal bias and how that impacts the choices that we make in a classroom setting, could we have students use it to better understand other students?
Sure. So it's also a safety. We can use this for safety training as well. This is really fascinating. We're going to get to know each other much better.
That's our next frontier.
Stacy Cruz, okay, you and I are going to get to know each other better. I find this fascinating.
Great, and you're going to introduce me to Tracy, who was on earlier. So I think we'll have a lot to talk about.
I am going to, believe me, I'm already thinking about composing the email. Okay, Tracy Benson is his name. He's a great guy. He's going to go nuts because the two shows, I don't know how this happened today. I'm not that good. They melded together.
It's a Thanksgiving blessing. There you go.
It is, and actually you should talk to him, okay, because he's in the School of Education at UNC in Charlotte, North Carolina, okay? And tell him you're sorry about the Panthers losing yesterday, because I know he's very upset about that.
I'll make sure
that was
a
joke. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's football. Okay.
I got an uncle who is a pro football coach. I can talk football.
Wow, there you go. Okay. So everybody, simschool.org, you can talk directly to Stacy Cruz, do you want to give their email, Stacy? It's up to you.
Yes, absolutely. So Stacy Kruse at simschool.org, and that's SKRUSE at simschool.org.
Great. Stacy Kruse, SKRUSE at simschool.org, simschool.org too. We're going to do more. I'm going to send you an email, send you the show, and we'll go from there. Okay, Stacy Kruse, KRUSE.
All right. Thanks so much, Larry.
Oh, you were terrific. Thank you. Okay, this is just great, great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving again to all.
And happy Thanksgiving to you out in L.A. with your tofu and kale turkey. Enjoy it.
Don't be jealous, Larry.
I won't. I promise. Okay. Thanks, Stace. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye. Okay, everybody. SimSchool.org. You heard it. This is cool. The future. The future. The future is here. The future of educational, of teacher education, the future of professional development in a ever-changing classroom. You can make it work. Okay? SimSchool.org. Well, okay. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and if you go over there, you'll not only see this show, you can also see Tracy Benson's show right above it. Okay? I suggest you listen to both if you're interested in this topic. Okay? We're going to tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio, Facebook, EduTalk Radio, LinkedIn, EduTalk Larry. Please, and we were talking about this for the two shows, equity was all about accessibility. Okay, please, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, our magazine, check it out at ace-ed.org. It's online. Trust me, you are going to love it. Okay, and you go over there, subscribe. It's free. Okay, ace-ed.org. Thanks, everybody. If I don't talk to you before, we got two shows tomorrow, but it's just a case. Happy Thanksgiving. And if you're in L.A., enjoy the turkey and kale turkey. I mean the tofu and kale turkey.